Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid table. So many times we give and rhyme to our quite hunting able. We're off to bad in Camelot. We sing from the die of Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, the... So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. and the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies, and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds, are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. You better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. You better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. You better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. You better stop.
is the turtle. All rise for King Caesar the Turtle and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. If you jump out there on Google and Google up just about any phrase that comes to mind, there's probably somebody out there already shouting it to all four points of the compass. So I was trying to figure out what kind of show I wanted to do today. I was trying to figure out what kind of title to put on there. You know, start off with a thought and just work your way through it. Totally unscripted. Most of the Knights of the Round Tables are totally unscripted. Matter of fact, they all are. It's kind of hard to explain. Sometimes I just feel like I get inspired about things, and some days I just don't feel like I'm inspired at all. I think today's probably one of those. I came across one of them. How easy can someone be driven to madness or insanity? And I just read a little short. A little short portion of this one article right here. It says, if by madness you are referring to any mental disorder, the answer is it varies. Most mental disorders occur through the complex interaction of biological and environmental factors. Several genes and environmental factors must interact to create a disorder in any given person. The more risk factors you have, that is, you have a genetic predisposition of certain trait, or you lived in an abusive home, or you experienced a traumatic event, the most likely you are to develop a disorder. It's kind of crazy because I think that I probably fell underneath all of those categories at one point in time. Oh, wow. So maybe it is the case that I'm just crazy. I got these dreams, and I think I got things figured out, but then I don't think I got things figured out. But apparently somebody out there has things figured out. You know, we got psychiatrists, and we got doctors, and all this other stuff, you know. We have society, you know. Been told many a times that I'm standing on a soapbox or I'm ranting. The soapbox one I really find offensive because it just seems demeaning, but, you know, whatever. Anyway, so I get on there and I started Googling up a bunch of things. Trying to figure out where I wanted to actually take today's show. And I typed in the phrase, driven to madness, and things come up. You would believe that there's songs out there that people have written basically about being driven to madness. There's that little short article. Maybe I'll just set a link into that article just so in case anybody ever wants to read the whole thing. I don't even want to know what's in the whole thing. I just send a link out there to the chat room. And so if anybody cares to read through it and see, I don't know, maybe you feel like I do once in a while, that you're getting driven to madness. But I'll just throw that link out there anyway, just for giggles, to see what's what. Today's show ain't planned, it's not scripted. Just been contemplating, I've been talking to the younger generation out there. I don't even know which generation that would be anymore. They got like the generation, the baby boomers, the Generation X, and generation whatever. And nowadays you got like so many different types of genders that they are trying to claim. I mean, the world itself, it just seems like it's gone insane. And I'm standing out here on the battlefield, and I'm thinking, you know, there's got to be a way to fix all this stuff. The only portion in my life, because I believe in a higher power. I believe there's only one power that can fix all this. But I know that I'm talking to a lot of people out there that don't believe in the same thing I do. And, you know, I just have to go through life and I have to have faith. I have to have faith that, you know, my spiritual journey is the right path and that I'm not being deceived and going down the wrong path. I've spent a long time, you know, in this world listening to a lot of different people's views and stuff on, you know, religion and spiritual journeys and what they believe's going on. I honestly have no clue, you know. I feel like that there's definitely a higher power, and I know that in the state of mind that this world is in, I honestly believe we need divine intervention in order to try to make things right in this world. One of the phrases I typed in that says, I need sleep, can't sleep, here's the 32 solutions for insomnia. I don't get much sleep anymore. Between thinking about, you know, alternative energy and ways to try to fix the world and, you know, hoping that people will find resolutions to making a peaceful world for all of us, it's kind of taking its toll on me. Now, I was looking at my friend's picture down here on ShazizRadio.com. Right underneath a little nifty animation of a campfire, there's my friend Two Dog out there, and he's standing next to one of his friends on under the Tree of Peace. And I'm thinking to myself, man, I'd like to climb up underneath that Tree of Peace and take me a nap. I just wanna lay back and let the world go on, do what it's gonna do, and just take a break. I almost didn't do a radio show this morning because I just felt like I didn't want to drag negativity over into, you know, somebody else's life who might be having a worse day than I am. See, I don't want to feel sorry for myself, and I don't want to try to be, I don't want the attention, I don't want to be the center of the world. I just want to, you know, express my ideas and hope that somehow or another people can start coming together. But as I'm listening to the youth and I'm listening to their trials and tribulations, I'm just like the future generation. I'm so concerned for them. I'm worried that, you know, their children's children are really going to go through some seriously hard times. And you think that if somehow or another there's this miracle, you know, we're seeking a miracle to try to fix our lives and try to fix the world. We're out here, we're talking to each other, and we're trying to reach out to the world. Outside of the circles that we all gather in and try to figure out ways to understand everything that's going on in our spiritual journeys, the world's pretty chaotic out there these days. And so I just don't know how to fix it. And I believe it's actually possible. I believe if you used everything, all the gifts that we've been given, this miracle that we call life and this beautiful world that we live on, I honestly believe that it is possible to fix. But on the same hand, I can't be naive, I guess, or foolish to just think that it's actually going to happen. You know, I mean, it's an overwhelming task, and I worry for people because I can see where people would be driven to madness by everything that's going on. I wish that somehow or another, you know, I could reach out and touch the hearts of the world and then it'd all be alright, everything would be fixed, you know, but the unfortunate thing is I'm just one of you. I'm no higher being, I'm no special, you know, I'm not God, I'm not, I don't have no magic, you know, I'm not powerful. All I got is the words that come out of my mouth and my heart to speak from. That's all I've got. And so, maybe to some extent, the Knights of the Round Table has become sort of a therapeutical thing for me. You know, I get out there and I talk to like-minded individuals and hope to share the message with everybody else and hope that that message resonates with the world and people will start coming together. You know, every place out there, I'm not looking to be a leader. I'm not looking to be the king. I'm King Shaziz the Terrible. It's a kind of a I don't know, a goof on how kings are, or, you know, like Congressman Bongwater, you know, elect me and I'll screw you on taxes kind of thing. That's trying to find a little bit of humor in a world that's just gone so doggone wrong. So, you know, maybe sometimes I do rant. Maybe sometimes I do stand on a soapbox. And maybe sometimes I really do need to crawl up underneath the tree of peace and go to sleep and let my mind have a rest. But sometimes my mind just won't stop. It just will not let me live in peace. It just wants to tell me, you gotta fix this, you gotta fix that. I can't fix everything. I look at some of the lyrics from some of the songs out there. When I googled up I Am In Too Deep, it's the first song that pops up. There's In Too Deep. It's not on YouTube. I don't even know what the lyrics are, but I can surely imagine it. It says a little section of the lyrics says, because I'm in too deep, I'm trying to keep up above in my head. Instead, I'm going under. And I think about that, and I think about whoever wrote that song. I mean, they're pretty bummed out. That's just depressing as all get out. And I don't want to put people in that kind of, I don't want to feed the darkness. I don't want to feed the negativity. But how do you reach out to the soul like that? I know it's not my job to save the world. But how do you reach out to a soul like that and convince them that the world is hopeful, that there's things out there that can be done to make things better? How do you do that? You know, I can't, in this day and age, I can't just go up and I can't just start talking to them about Jesus, because every time I do, it seems like I run into every other soul out there that, you know, has heard something like the video Zeitgeist or whatever, and people's out there trying to talk bad about the one that, you know, they believe to be the Messiah, that I believe to be the Messiah, that, you know, according to my spiritual journey. Could be that I'm wrong. I don't know. I mean, how could I know? Understandably, none of us have ever, you know, basically been up into space to see for ourselves what's the truth up there. There's people out there fighting over whether the earth is flat, whether the earth is round or whatever, and all that stuff is irrelevant to what we're actually witnessing here on this earth. Whatever you believe that this thing is. And I see things going on in this world that, you know, they basically dig at my heart, my mind. I'm like, I can't understand why people treat each other the way that they do. So I put the Knights of the Round Table together, not just for, you know, the world, I guess. I guess they're probably for myself as well. Because sometimes I need a little bit of, you know, somebody talking to me to tell me why I'm not gone mad, that, you know, we're on the right track, we got this thing, and we can keep our faith in our Lord, and we can just keep moving forward and try to make things right. One of the phrases I typed in was ranting man. And, believe it or not, there's tons of stuff out there about ranting man arrested after running people over with his truck, and The Simpsons has a crazy homeless man ranting, and it's like, it doesn't matter what you say, whatever phrase that you come up with, it's already been said, it's already been done. Everything that you can possibly imagine, everything you think you invented, somebody else has already thought of. It's just, it's mind-blowing. I think the next phrase that I put up there was, I do not wish to participate. And I think that's probably the one that really hits home with me the most, because some people believe that we actually chose to come here, you know, from wherever it is that we all came, from the source or whatever. You know, they believe that we actually chose to come here. Well, if I really did, I think I was a foolish man for trying to figure out that I could come down here and make a difference in a world that, you know, I'm one person out of all these people out there. And I gotta find other like-minded individuals who actually believe in the dream as well, so that we can come together and we can make this world better, to save it for everybody else, to try to, you know, do the right thing. Or maybe it was even case of we were sent here to learn something. Well, I think I learned a lot. I think I learned that I don't want to participate in this mess. I don't want to be out there fighting in wars. I don't want to be in the midst of a drama. You know, I get the adventure of trials and tribulations and a journey to see what we can accomplish and how far we could go. But if we all was doing that together, you know, that would be kind of a cool thing. But it's like the when you go to the party with all your family and friends, somebody always wants to cry. Somebody always wants to fight. There's always got to be some sort of drama. And you just want to just like go sit off by the pond in moonlight by yourself and just listen to the nature and all that. I just don't want to participate in a world that's gone insane. But on the other hand, I think to myself, if I don't speak up, if I don't say nothing, if I don't do nothing, if I don't even try, I guess I just kind of adding to the problem or whatever. So I really guess there ain't no method to my madness. You know, there's videos out there that says I do not wish to participate. Some of them have to do with, you know, law enforcement and legal issues, the power of believing you can improve, or Adam Grant, the surprising habits of original thinkers. That's might be my biggest problem, is I think too much. But once again, if you got a mind that's busy thinking too much, how do you stop it? I'm not by any means going to kill myself. I don't believe in suicide or anything like that. I don't think that the world is that bad that, you know, I can't suffer through a little pain to be able to spend time with my loved ones, my friends and my family and the people that join me here on the show. Because as far as I'm concerned, you folks out there, you're the best of my world. My family's the best of my world. You guys and gals that show up out here, keep me motivated, moving forward. Keep me hoping that there is a possibility that someday something, some sort of miracle, some sort of divine intervention will occur, and it'll put this world right, you know, and make things right. I just don't know. My next phrase that I put on there is Crazy World. And right out of the gate, there's a YouTube video on Crazy World. There's a Crazy World Live from Dublin show for Port Christie. Dignam, I can't even pronounce that. Anyway, you know, it's like, you just go through there. There's Scorpion's album, Crazy World. There's a Wikipedia articles about it, images about a crazy world. It's just every single phrase that you think you thought of, every single idea that you think you had. So many out there in this world, there's so many people out there in this world, so many years have gone by that it's all been done. You know, I kind of think that I wished, on one hand, that I knew everything that there was to know. I wish that I knew all the secrets of the universe, but then that probably take out the interesting portion of the journey, I guess. But then I get to thinking, I say, you know, if I ever was to die and go to heaven or wherever we go after here, I'd want to forget this journey that I was on. I would never want to remember anything about it. I wouldn't want to remember anything about this world. Because I would have known that I had to leave this world, and I wasn't able to fix it. And it drives me nuts not to be able to fix things. It drives me nuts not to be able to help nobody. I watch some of these younger generations, they go out and they have children together, and they have relationships, and the relationships are so, they're just disorderly. They're dysfunctional. And nowadays people change families like they change hats, like it's no big deal, you know. Divorce is a thing, and not even getting married to begin with is a thing. You know what Paul Harvey said in 1965? He spelled it out. I mean, if you listen to that, you'd swear that man was a prophet. He said a lot of things in that deal that you look out there in modern day society and you see it. And I don't want to be one of those doom and gloomers. I don't want to be one of those negative naysayers that drags everybody else down with, oh, we're all doomed, we're all going to die, the world's coming to an end. I don't want to be like that. I want to be that person. I want to be the guy that's at the party trying to say, can't we all just get along and making jokes and make people laugh and trying to get everybody to start having fun together? I don't want to be the guy that's feeding the fire of hate and discontent and sadness. So, these are just a fraction of what goes on through my mind at any given second. It's probably the main reason why I don't sleep very much. Because I'm constantly thinking about something. I will get onto a thought and it will become an obsession. And I just kind of can't stop thinking about it. And I'm trying to figure out an idea and a solution, try to resolve issues. Trying to figure out a way, how do I tell people, you know, that we actually got all these different types of energy, knowledge, and you know, there's all kinds of solutions to everything under the sun. And that brings me to my next phrase. I don't want to be a teacher. I just don't. I don't want the responsibility, I guess. But I guess we're all teachers in our own right. We teach the world how to treat us, that's one thing for sure. And we teach the world things that we find. So, as long as we're teaching things that we know to be fact and truthful, that's a good thing. But the problem is, in this deceptive world that we find ourselves in, I don't know what's truthful. I honestly don't. I just weed through it and I kind of let my heart, my mind, and my conscience, my soul, or whatever, try to be my guide, try to find the best way through this mess to see what's truthful and what's not. A lot of people out there trying to manipulate our minds and trying to put us in, you know, fighting against each other all the time. They just constantly want to do battle with us for some reason. They constantly want to control us. They want us to fight amongst each other. They want us to go to war with one another. And war, to me, it makes absolutely no sense, because what is really worth fighting over? What is really worth going to war and hurting other people? What's really worth taking a life? I can't see anything out there worth taking a life over. You know, I've been indoctrinated like everybody else on this planet, so I get it. You know, if you're under attack, you've got to fight back. You got to defend yourself in this world. I get that. And maybe there's a case that, you know, you had to do what you had to do, and you had to take somebody's life. That wouldn't be something I could live with, I'm sure. But just so much. To be a teacher, you have to be a special person, and I don't think myself to be special. But to be a person and showing people, teaching them everything that you've seen, or at least pointing them in the direction to information to be helpful with them, I think I could go that route. And then the last one to put on there, the last man standing. I feel like I'm out here on the battlefield and everybody else is saying, don't throw their hands up in the air and said, oh heck with it, these people are nuts. Humanity's lost it. I give up. And I kind of said it myself a few times. I said, I'm about to give up. I'm about to shut it all down. I'm about to go to sleep and just say the heck with it. It would be so much easier for me just to not do radio shows or not get out here on the internet and look around at information. You pull that one cord out of the wall and it's all over. No more. I don't listen to nothing coming outside this world. I just stay home and do my thing and go fishing and, you know, wander around the property and stuff. That would probably be the most effective way to ensure that I haven't driven myself to madness? I know there's people out there probably way worse off than I am, and I get that. And I don't even want to be one of the ones feeling sorry for myself, miserable about life. I just, I'm tired. I'm wore out. Sometimes I think I need a break. But then I think about out there, I've got to get out there and say something to somebody and try to steer them in a different direction than where I find myself sometimes. Because we're all human, folks. We all got a journey, but we actually need each other. Regardless of what we think, we actually really need each other. Yep. I just wonder. I hope that, I hope there is some sort of divine intervention. I hope that there's a miracle in this world somehow. I hope that somehow or another that the people of this world wake up. Politically, you know, everyone fights over things in this world that don't make no sense. People fighting over religion. People fighting over everything under the sun. I just wonder when the time is when they're all going to start fighting for their for each other. Maybe that's the wrong words. How do you get people to stop fighting? I don't know, but I'm going to take a quick music break. Try to see if my mind will do something different. Peace and love, everybody. Stay tuned.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. Grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those Muslim old boys raised on shotguns. We say praise, we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I
saddle up to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Yellow moon coming up to tonight, shining through the trees. Crickets are singing and lightning bugs are floating on the breeze. Baby, get ready. Across the field where the creek turns back by the old stumble road, I'm gonna take you to a special place that nobody knows. Baby, get ready. Ooh, ooh.
You and me go fishing in the dark, lying on our backs and counting the stars where the cool grass grows. Down by the river in the full moonlight, we'll be falling in love in the middle of the night, just moving slow.
Almost over and the summer's come and the days are getting long. Waited all winter for the time to be right just to take you along. Baby, get ready. And it don't matter if we sit forever and the fish don't bite. We'll jump in a river and cool ourselves from the heat of the night.
Where he was born and raised. pleasure here on earth I find. I'll die upon this train.
Perhaps you'll die upon this train.
You can bury me in some deep valley for many years where I may lay. Sleeping in
Shazam the Turbo. All Earth working Shazam the Turbo and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. It's Old King Shazam the Turbo here. Started off talking about a bunch of different phrases that I googled up, kind of searching for a doggone subject to start the day's round table off at. And what I ended up coming up with was driven to madness question mark. And you know, I googled up a bunch of different stuff and I said, how easy can someone be driven to madness or insanity? And then I kind of, I guess, maybe went into what some would call a rant, maybe some would even call a soapbox, and my own personal ideas and spiritual journey that I find myself on. And I'm basically, I'm just sitting here in my mind, I'm trying to make sense or analyze what's going on in this world. You know, I talked to some youth last night, and they were having some, family issues between themselves, and the way that they talk to each other. It's like, you know, how do you fix that? You know, in my mind, I guess in my heart mostly, you know, I'm a fixer. I want to fix things. I want to fix things that are broken. I want to fix the world. I want it to do positive. I want to make people smile and laugh and all that kind of stuff. And so as I'm watching out there, see, I'm stumbling on my words again. But guys, my brain is moving faster than my mouth or whatever. I don't know. My brain has been racing for so long, so incredibly fast. Every day, it seems like when I go to sleep at night, I sleep less and less the more time goes by because I feel an urgency in the world that things need to be fixed. I'm listening to everybody. I don't want to feel sorry for myself. I don't want to feel negativity. I don't want to be, the center of attention. I don't want to be special. You know, I keep telling people a long time ago, they think that, I want to be some sort of celebrity or something like that. You know, if I really wanted the world to see me and give me credit for everything it is that I do, it wouldn't be going by Old King Shaziz the Terrible. You know, I'm not in this for that purpose. I'm in this because I got this crazy notion that if we all actually decided to, if we actually use the true power that I believe is within each and every one of us, that we could resolve every problem under the sun. There's nothing that we couldn't fix. I don't believe that it's all written in stone, that we're all doomed to total chaos. I don't believe that we have to dwell in the darkness or the negativity that we find in this world so prevalent. You know, you listen to politics and there's a divisive line there. You listen to religion, there's a divisive line there. You listen to some average Joes talking to each other. You know, it's a struggle to try to figure out who's right and who's wrong, when in all reality, if you all want to be truthfully, intellectually honest with yourselves, none of us really know the ultimate truth. We know our personal truth. We know our personal spiritual journey truth. We know what we've witnessed and experienced in our life, and we can testify to whatever we've witnessed, whatever we've seen. But as far as knowing the whole grand scheme of things, none of us know what the real truth is. We're seeking it. We always seeking the truth. That's our nature, I guess, you know. But on that journey, you pick a lot of information up. You see things. Like when I talk about, I look at this world and I see what this world really looks like. I mean, what it looks like to me. I see beauty. I see a miracle. I see amazing potential. I see an abundance of everything. You know, I wish there was a tree or something, some sort of thing that would, you could give everybody, you could just walk up and hand them a fruit off this tree, and all of a sudden they'd have love in their heart, and that would be the only thing they'd think about, just going out being kind to each other. I'm not willing to lay down to darkness. I'm not willing to give up to the extent and just walk away. I've tried. honestly tried. Well, I got friends that come on here that if it hadn't been for like Barbara, who has joined us on the show today, she's basically talked me off the edge I don't know how many times. Because I get frustrated just like, I'm just human just like everybody else. I get frustrated. I want to walk away. I want to stop saying these words because I look out there and I to me, it's like everything's moving in slow motion as far as progress, making the world great. I know there's good things happening in this world. I know there's good people in this world. I know there's people that will go out of their way and do something for a total stranger that they don't even know. Somebody who might even very well, according to what we've been taught, might be dangerous. But they take that chance anyway out of the love of their heart, and they give this person some money for food or give them a ride to safety somewhere, or they do some act of kindness. And I think that as humans, that's the best that we got. That's the best that we can do. And maybe, you know, my hope is we have some sort of divine intervention. You know, that all these souls, all these wonderful souls around the world wake up and come together and just make things right. I wish I had a magical wand. I'd just do it right now and then everybody'd be great. I want people to live in peace, and I want to live in peace. I talked about earlier how looked at my picture of my friend Two Dog's Tree of Peace down there. He's down there with his friend, shaking his friend's hand. He's got his Tree of Peace down there. I just kind of like wish I could just go up there, crawl up underneath that Tree of Peace and take a nap. Because I think a place like that, that's where you know everything's all right. It's a little bit of safety. You don't have to worry about nobody bothering you. Just laying underneath that Tree of Peace, enjoying nature. And nature's loving if you give nature a chance. I'm telling you, I'm amazed every time I go out there in this world, and I'm out there by the pond and I'm watching the wildlife and I'm just enjoying it. I wish everybody could experience that. I wish the world could experience that. I wish we could put all of our differences aside. I wish we could put everything down, all the negativity and the hate-filled comments to one another. And I wish families could stay together. I wish that they would stop fighting amongst each other, and especially if they have a child involved. That people, you know, it seems like divorce is a thing, and even to the extent some people won't even get married because they think, well, what's the point? I'm going to have a new girlfriend or new boyfriend the next day anyway, so there's nobody seems to, in the younger generation, seems to take the old values serious. You know, if you talk to any of the old people that's been married for, 60 years or 30 years or even 16 years, whatever, it doesn't matter. That's a long time to be with a single person that you really care for and you dedicate your life to them. It's a wonderful thing. But that's the kind of dreams I hope for. That's the kind of dreams I dream of. I dream about a day when we can all live in peace. I dream about a day that, you know, maybe in my mind I wish that we had a savior who's going to rush in here tomorrow and fix it all. You know, in my spiritual beliefs, I believe that there is a savior that's going to come in and fix it all. But I gotta have that. I honestly have to have that. Maybe some men call it a crutch. Even if it's just a positive thought in the back of my mind. Even if it's just something that keeps hope alive in my heart. I don't want that little candle of hope to go out in my heart. Because I think that if I finally give up and I don't say what I'm saying, I might miss out on the chance touching somebody else's heart. And they'll do the same for somebody else. So, how you doing there, Barbara?
Good morning, Yanni Washte, everybody. Oh, well, I'm doing okay. I had a late night last night, going down some more rabbit holes. and I kind of had a late start this morning. I'm hearing what you're talking about, and what comes to my mind is these days I think we have to be very careful of that energy that you're talking about that's causing a lot of turmoil. But there's a reason for it, you know, and I think it's important to discuss that, you know. We do have, you said I wish there were a tree with the fruits on it, you know, that you could just hand it out and people would you know, walk away from it with love in their hearts and all that. And in our culture, in an indigenous way, we have, we call it the sacred tree of life.
Yeah.
And so, and I think we're in that time where we have to recognize what is available for us. But there is prophecy regarding this tree of life and what our elders have told us. And, you know, we've talked about the energies that are roiling around in our world today that are really affecting everyone. That's why I said we have to be very careful today. We have to be very alert today, because there is a reason why this energy of, well, what we call craziness or madness or chaos or, I guess you could say, the divisiveness or the hate, these are energies that are roiling around and they're affecting us, and sometimes it's hard to keep your self, you know, in center or calm or in a good way, because we're being hit with this left and right and bottom to top, and there's a reason for that, and I'd like to talk about that.
Well, I'd like to hear any kind of thought on that matter, because last night, you know, I was talking to, you know, a young couple, and it's just like, for some reason, every good thought and everything that I could possibly come up with was countered by a negative reason why you couldn't resolve an issue in order to try to make things right with your little family. And, you know, granted, it's not my family and it's not my business to intervene, but when you see people suffering and you can't just sit there and say, look, you know, maybe if you guys calm down, step back and take a breath, you know, and think about this through, and maybe you guys even go get some counseling, and worst case scenario, if you do end up parting it, you can leave as friends.
Yeah, well, people have to want to do that, and this is why I say we have to be very careful. The question, what I hear you saying, you know, it's almost like people have their resistance to resolving, right?
Yeah.
And so, well, what is that resistance? You know, a long time ago, I got a message from Spirit that there's this energy called the resistor energy, and it's hitting people left and right. Now, what is the resistor energy? Well, it's when you feel like, you have no energy to make an effort, number one. You're just kind of like stuck in a mud or stuck in the quicksand, and you can't move. You have no impetus. Could say, well, people who just sit around and spew out despair or hate or divisiveness, there's a resistor energy hitting them where they feel a huge resistance within themselves to make an effort to change anything, even to do to pray. I'll give you an example. A lot of times Spirit comes in the night, you know, and wants us to wake up. There's a reason for that, you know, because the energies are a little different at night during those certain periods of time. And Spirit will often wake you up in the middle of the night so that you can be one with in that energy of, you know, prayer and or doing something, you know, that would be helpful. And people were finding that, oh, they wake up, oh, I'm too tired, you know, tomorrow, I'll do it tomorrow, yeah, I'll do it tomorrow, you know. Something else is more important, I'd rather do that, I'd rather go, you know, I'm going to go look at my iPhone, look up the game, who won the football game? I mean, it's a diversion, was what I'm trying to point out. The resistor energy is an energy that pushes us to resist change, to push us to resist an effort to make a change, to determine or through our free will, let's work together. Now, I don't want to work together, the resistor energy says. I'm angry. I don't like what they're doing or what they're saying. So, no, I don't want to bother with that. I'm going to stay right here in this place where I feel righteous, or I feel, you know, like, I have my right to be angry. How dare they? I have my right to be angry. So,
That makes it hard for my type of mind, because my mind is scanning every possibility for solutions and resources. You know, it's like whenever you got a problem going on in your life, I know all the resources that I have available to me. I know how far I can go, and if I use my resources wisely, that we can get through just about any storm. But when you try to do that, you know, try to apply it to somebody else that's having that negative, resistance going on, where they don't want to fix nothing, and every solution you come up with is not good enough. You see what I'm saying?
Well, that's what I'm talking about. My question to those people is, why wouldn't you want to make the effort to feel better, or to feel more in harmony with your family, or to come to a better place where everybody feels good, you see? You know, in the way of our people, we would sit in what we call council, and we would sit, you could sit for days, you could sit for even weeks or longer, where everyone has their say, and everyone has to listen. You know, I mean, you could say, well, use the talking stick, because the talking stick is our way of, when you hold that talking stick, you have the, I guess you have the floor, and everyone sits, and they must listen to you, and not cut in, not butt in, not to defend themselves. Their time will come when they get that talking stick, but the one who has the talking stick is there speaking. Now, I could say to people, it's not an attacking stick. Okay, this is not an attacking stick. You're there to speak from your heart about what happened to you, what this may have felt like to you. It's not about pointing fingers or attacking another. It's about sharing your feelings and your perspective of what the circumstance was about. This is a way to come to a resolve of understanding each other. So when you sit in that council, you could sit there for days, and the idea is, ultimately, the point is to come to a place where everyone feels heard, everyone had their opportunity to express themselves and their perspective on something, their idea, and everyone would listen. And in the minds of the people and in the hearts of the people present, the goal was to come to a place of resolve and harmony within their community, within their family, or as a couple, whatever it is. And that might take days. That might take, but that's your determination. I'm willing to sit there days or weeks with you for however long it takes, so that we all ultimately feel heard and good and settled in our heart spirit, you see.
Yeah, I like that. I feel like sometimes there's this doggone, I don't know, almost like a vampire bat or something like that. Somebody's just like to get on your energy force, so to speak, and just suck all that energy out of your heart and mind. It's almost like, I know, no matter which culture you're at, there's always people that talk about, you know, things like demons or bad spirits or
negative mojo. Well, there is. That's why I started out with, we have to be very careful today, because these particular energies, it doesn't matter what you want to call them, they are present, and they are not of the light, and they are disruptive, and they are powerful. And what they're seeking to do is cause chaos and cause divisiveness and cause that energy. You know, the thing we're talking about more frequently now with the people, or at least I am, because this is a message that I received, is the key piece here is that we as a people, as humanity, have a power. And that means, what is that power? That power is, we either create love and compassion and harmony and balance, or we create divisiveness and hatred and separation.
Well, that's that whole free will thing that I keep talking about. You know, like, even on my side of the fence, where, you know, I fall under, I guess you'd call the label of Christianity. I call myself a Christian because I've subscribed to the words that a man talked about, peace and love and all this kind of stuff and hope. But even on my side of the fence, I will listen to people get angry at basically what would be their God, right? And blaming God for everything. Blaming God for everything under the sun. Everything that's wrong, it's all God's fault. Why would God allow babies to starve to death? And I'm sitting here, I'm thinking every time they say this kind of stuff, how can you even say that? we got a choice when we get up in the morning whether or not we want to help somebody or hurt somebody. We can choose in any given second to be the best person in the world or the worst person in the world. We can do something about starvation in the world, but we have to do it together because, like me, myself, if I had the opportunity, the money, the finances, the resources available, I would ensure that every single person out there that was in need was cared for. But I don't have that resources alone, but I do have a little bit of what needs to be to help them out. You see what I'm saying? But I need
well, that again, I need everyone. That again, what you just said, you see, you have to want to do that.
Well,
now, why wouldn't anyone want to have peace and harmony in the world? It has to start with us, right?
Yeah.
So if you can't, I guess I'd say if you have a problem with a friend, you know, or your family, like you're talking about that you were experiencing, you have to ask, well, why wouldn't you want to feel good with each other? Why wouldn't you want to bring back that love that was there originally, you know, with that with that person?
I think they're blinded by the anger. I think they're blinded.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. See, that energy, I'm going to keep repeating myself because this is a key piece. We have to be careful of this energy that is ramping up and is affecting us, you know, into madness, into divisiveness, into disconnect from each other, from our human family. This is prophecy. And let me read this about the story of the sacred tree, because this is, you know, you started out with, I wish there were a tree I could go to and pick off fruits, and everybody who ate that fruit would just, you know, come to be loving and caring. So here, this is a story of the sacred tree. So for all the people of the earth, the Creator has planted a sacred tree under which they may gather and there find healing, power, wisdom, and security. The roots of this tree spread deep into the body of the Mother Earth, and its branches reach upward like hands praying to Father Sky. The fruits of this tree are the good things that the Creator has given to the people, teachings that show the path of love, path to compassion, generosity, patience, wisdom, justice, courage, respect, humility, and many other wonderful gifts. The ancient ones, our elders, taught us that the life of the tree is the life of the people. If the people wander far away from the protective shadow of this sacred tree, if they forget to seek the nourishment of its fruit, or if they should turn against the tree and attempt to destroy it, great sorrow will fall upon the people. Many will become sick at heart, and the people will lose their power. They will cease to dream dreams. They will cease to see visions. They will begin to quarrel amongst themselves over worthless trifles. They will become unable to tell the truth and to deal with each other honestly. They will forget how to survive in their own land, and their lives will become filled with anger and gloom. Little by little, they will poison themselves and all that they touch. It was foretold in prophecy that these things would come to pass, but that the tree would never die, and as long as the tree lives, the people live. It was also foretold that the day would come when the people would awaken, as if from a long drugged sleep, that they would begin, timidly at first, and maybe unsure, maybe some little doubt, but then with great urgency they would search again for this sacred tree. And the knowledge of its whereabouts and of the fruits that adorn its branches have always been carefully guarded and preserved within the minds and hearts of our wise elders. This humble, loving, dedicated soul will guide anyone who is honestly and sincerely seeking along the path leading to the protecting shadow of the sacred tree. So, this is where we are today. Is the sacred tree of life still is present, but it has been assaulted, attacked. Of course, that That's because we are, have been driven away from it. So it is, the sacred tree of life still exists. But it has gone through great trials and great, troubles due to where humanity has drifted away, so far away from the gifts, the wisdoms of that tree and the gifts, and which is, of course, the love and compassion and joy and power and wisdom. These things are all available to everyone. But today, that's why I keep saying we have to be very careful, because you have to ask yourself, okay, if there is this sacred tree of life, and if our elders have been speaking the truth to us all along, and the messages that I have received about the power that we do have to make peace, to change the energy upon our earth, to make things harmonious and more balanced and more loving, it's up to us. But we, individually and collectively, are being inundated daily with energies through various things. You could say the media or politicians or even our neighbors or someone in our family who is lost from that roots of that sacred tree. So that's why it is in our hands. We are not helpless. This is extraordinary to know. It is our free will. We can either choose to be loving and compassionate, or we can choose to be basically thrown down, you know, along those pathways where we're choosing to not make peace with each other.
You know, that that story, it, even though the words are different, it's explaining what I feel like that vision that I had about getting to visit, God and actually going to see what hell really looked like and that kind of stuff, you know. But it was, the farther I got away from that goodness, which in my mind was God, the worse the things got, until I was completely, separate from all that would be my creator, to complete nothingness, the furthest
right.
that you could get away from the light, to the darkest abyss that you can imagine, that kind of difference. But it just seems like the same story, the same prophecy that you just explained out, I saw it in a different view, I saw the same thing with different words. Does that make any sense to you?
Yes, of course. I mean, all cultures and all sources have their story of the tree of life. I mean, it's throughout all ancient cultures, so it has to be something there if all cultures speak of this sacred tree of life and the significance of it, I mean, we receive these messages through different sources, and even the words could be a little bit different, but the meaning is the same.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. I just couldn't figure out how to say it,
The indigenous peoples throughout the world all speak of this tree, this sacred tree of life. The gathering tree, like the Inuit people, it's called the gathering tree. In the Australian, that country, it's called the tree of life. In the Métis people have the sacred tree, which was the cedar tree. Right, that's people here in our Turtle Island, and other indigenous people speak about the tree of life. It's called the reconciliation tree. This is the people up there in way in the north in Canada. Then you have the people in the Aboriginal people. You have the people in Africa. I mean, it's widespread, this, this sacred tree of life, but meaning, ultimately, what it really means, as I'm going to keep repeating myself, is that we, as a people, as human people, have something to draw upon, and it's the wisdom of the elders, but it's also the sacred tree of life, which we are all connected to, originally, but we have moved away from it, or we were pushed away from it, you could say. I believe that's part of the agenda, part of prophecy, and that on the opposite side of the prophecy that is light is the prophecies of the darkness overtaking people, despair and chaos and separatists. This is where we are today.
Did you know that in the Bible, in Genesis, the tree of life is mentioned 3 times?
I did not know, but I'm not surprised.
And it was supposed to be in Eden, I guess.
And well, the tree of life,
4 times in Revelations. So.
Right. Well, so you have to imagine this tree is so large, so powerful, so resilient, so awesome that its greatest threat is not climate change, actually, or disease, or deforestation, but only basically it's about the people being removed from this. The people moving away from what the Tree of Life represents to every one of us. And this is where we are. I feel we are there today. But, you know, Black Elk said when the Wounded Knee occurred, he said the Tree of Life and the Sacred Hoop is destroyed. But then he also said there was a little root that remained with deep within the mother, and that someday, and this is a prophecy that I read before, someday that tree of life would begin to grow again and the people would wake up. Now it's up to us people to wake up. Nobody's gonna, wake us up, shake us up, because we're being really pummeled very deeply and very hard with the chaos and the madness that is going on in our world today, which causes despair and causes hopelessness. But if you can't find the hope and the faith within yourself, how are you going to get back into, feeding and taking the fruits and the beauty and all that is of that tree of life and coming into harmony? This is our challenge today. This is where we are today.
Well, it amazes me that when you're talking about how it's in every other culture, I looked it up I know that, people have symbolism that they wear around, maybe even have pictures on the walls of the Tree of Life. When I Googled this up, the first thing that came up, it says, the Tree of Life has become the subject of some debate as to whether or not the Tree of the Knowledge of Good and Evil is the same tree in the Bible outside of Genesis. The term Tree of Life appears in Proverbs.
Well, I will say that, no, there are two. See, this is the confusion. This tree of life that I am speaking about, the sacred tree for all people of the earth, is not that tree that you're talking about in Genesis. The tree of good and evil. That's a whole other story. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, that's... If there's any kind of disinformation out there in the world, something that would be good like that from every single culture could get skewed, sideways or whatever. Off to the right of it says the Tree of Life is a term used in the Hebrew Bible that is a component of the world tree motif in the book of Genesis. The Tree of Life first described in chapter 2, verse 9 as being in the midst of the Garden of Eden with the tree, and both, once again, knowledge of good and evil. Basically, before sin, innocence, or where everything used to be a long time. Somebody said this to me one time about how things in the book should be thought of as literally, and then somebody else told me that things in the Bible should be thought of as figuratively, using some sort of parable to explain something, you use something else. You know what I'm trying to say here?
Yeah.
And so, I'm just at a loss. My gosh.
Well, I understand that. I understand that many people are at a loss, but this is why I say we have to be very careful. How do you recoup yourself? How do you revive yourself and get back into the light? Because that's, people are drifting into the dark. You just feel confused, and you feel despairing, and you feel helpless. That's shifting into a darker frequency.
Yeah, that's what I'm I don't know. I guess it's kind of like when you're going through a storm, you grab a hold of your partner's hand, you hang on with everything you got, and you try to work your way through the whole deal. And if somebody falls, you reach down and grab them and pick them up, and you keep moving forward. This world, it doesn't make any doggone sense to me why it is that we have to go through such trials and tribulations to get to the other side, when if we had to, we do have free will. We have a choice. We can choose to make this world a better place day by day. And I understand what you're talking about, not feeding into the negativity. It's a hard thing to not do. It's so easy for people, because I'm kind of like a sponge. I tell people, I when I'm around people who are negative, I absorb that negativity. And when I'm around people who are positive, I absorb it. And so I'm trying to be the guy that's at the party making the jokes and trying to make people smile and laugh. And, you know, I'm trying to keep that side of the fence going. And you end up having to deal with it because I'm only one person. You see what I'm saying? If you had an army of people rushing in to make everybody smile, nobody'd have any reason to be upset. Everybody'd be smiling. But when you're trying to help some folks out that they're living in a bubble, so to speak, in their little world, everybody feels like the world revolves around them and that they've been offended by the world, or, you know, they want to be the center of attention or stuff like that. We have our work cut out for us. As I don't know, I keep saying that deal about being a candle or a lighthouse for somebody else out there, and you just, I don't know, stand there and shine and hope for the best, or open your mouth and use the power of the spoken word to try to inspire somebody's heart to see the light to begin with.
Well, there is the, I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but the Norse people, Old Norse, have their tree of life, also speak of the tree of life. And the way I see this, the way they describe it is, you know, the tree of life is actually an ash tree, A-S-H, which, interestingly enough, that the sacred pipe, the Chenumpawakan, is usually most often made from the ash tree. And the ash tree is a, you know, that Chinumpa Wakan, the sacred pipe that the white buffalo calf woman brought to the people, and along with seven sacred ceremonies and the way of living according to Creator's Law of One, came through this Chinumpa Wakan. Now, the Norse people say, of course, that the ash tree, the tree of life, is the ash tree. And amazing enough that in the ancient pictures of this ash, it's called the Yggdrasil, this ash tree, upon the top sits an eagle. And, you know, of course, the eagle is a very sacred winged one in our culture, in indigenous culture. It is the one who flies the highest in the realms and can come closest to Creator, Great Spirit. And the eagle, Wambli, or Wambli Gleshka, the spotted eagle, is the one that we pray to in our ceremonies to carry our prayers to Creator. Now, so also in the Tree of Life, the roots go deep into the mother. But around this Tree of Life, you could see all the branches replicates life, harmony and balance and light and goodness and compassion and so on. And the roots, the base of this tree, there are three goddesses that protect this tree. On the outside, emanating in the ethers, are the entities of corruption, disruption, negativity, separateness, and divisiveness, attempting to affect the realm of the sacred tree of life. So we could use this analogy as ourselves. Think of ourselves as the tree of life, okay? Each one of us is a sacred being or sacred tree of life. We, you know, our feet touch the mother, and if you can, you can often do a what we call a healing meditation, where you send the roots of yourself down into the mother to draw up the nourishment from the mother. And when we raise our hands up, these are branches, and we could raise our hands up and we could reach up to the sky, or our branches emanate out from us and carry what it is that we speak about, what we think about, and what our emotions are. And then if you look at it on a level of an etheric experience, for instance, like we have tendrils of energies or frequencies or threads or waves of energy or frequency that emanate out from our body, our mouth, our thoughts, our emotions. So we are trees of life. But what is it that's trying to affect us is the same thing that's attempting to destroy the sacred tree of life, is the energies of divisiveness, of hatred, of separation, of doubt, of fear, of negativity, all trying to enter our sphere, our sacred realm of a person, of a human that we are, affecting our mind, our thoughts, and our actions.
Do you remember when I said I wish there was a tree that I could go up and I could get some fruit off of?
I gotta read
this section right here that I just come across. It says the fruit of the Holy Spirit is a biblical term that sums up 9 attributes of a person or community living in accord with the Holy Spirit according to chapter 5 in the Epistle of the Galatians. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So I might have been the tree. If I'm bearing bad fruit towards my brothers and sisters or negativity, you know, I need to bear good fruit. You know, I need to be that tree that has that spirit of joy and peace and love and patience and kindness and goodness and all that. And so maybe my answer to my question was there all along. What do you think?
Well, you know, I always say that. That we have the answer already within us, but in your monkey mind is going to tell you, well, you're not doing enough. You know, you got to do something out there. But what we really need to do is go into ourself, which we are sacred. Our own words are sacred or not. Our own thoughts are sacred or not. Our emotions, the same thing. So it's an extraordinary thing, really, if you think about it, that what you desire is harmony and peace and for people to feel good and safe and happy. You desire that, but you're looking on the outside to make some kind of an effect to make this happen, right?
Yeah.
But it is within you. It is within your heart and your love, you know, that is powerful. So we are seed planters. Okay, how do we plant a seed? Okay, I'm talking about how do we plant the seed of love and peace and harmony and balance. We plant that seed by being loving, peaceful, and compassionate beings. That is a power beyond our imagining. You don't have to write a book and tell this story. You don't have to scream it out on a, you know, outside on the corner. You have to be. You must be that, what you desire, what you seek in the world, what you hope for, what you dream of. Okay? When you dream of peace, I want everybody to be happy, you said.
Yeah.
You know, but you think you gotta fix it with, you know, intellectualizing or talking or pulling or pushing or dragging people to the water and making them drink, you see. But that's not what this is about. This is about your power through your frequency of that love, of that compassion. And make sure the words that come out of your mouth are following along that route of compassion and understanding and love. And that's where we get caught up with this issue of being subjected from the outside source that is also affecting or attempting to affect the sacred tree of life, the great sacred tree, is to crush the branches of that tree, to crush the beauty and the sacredness out of that tree of life that is for the good of all. Okay? So we are subjected to the same thing as a human being. We have entities or TV or others or mainstream media or politics or whatever it is that's trying to affect our sacredness and get us angry and fuel this hate and fuel this divisiveness, where our own free will is being manipulated to stay in that frequency of divisiveness. So this is why I keep saying we have to be very alert and careful today, because we are all being subjected to this, you see.
Yeah, we're definitely under attack. There ain't no doubt about that. Looks like Patty showed up. I'm going to have to throw her in the call here.
Yeah, get her in here. So I think that's why I get excited about talking like this, because we are in an extraordinary time. We, the people, everyone listening, and every other person on this earth have a power and a gift that was given to us to be used however our free will chooses or what is in our heart. Now, if, as again, I keep saying, we have more power than you could ever imagine.
Well,
to
I can believe it, because I think I learned something here today, Barbara. I think you opened my eyes to something here. I'm my worst enemy. Honestly,
don't beat yourself up, because we are all our own worst enemy, and we blame others. Oh, they're not behaving themselves, or they did this, or they're that. And so that when we say those words, oh, those people, them, and we point fingers, what does that do energetically? What's that frequency? Zap, zap, zap of a negative energy. We're throwing that negative energy out there into the whole mix, affecting the harmony and balance of the sacred tree of life.
So if I believe in the dream, I have to live it. I have to, no matter what the world throws at me, I have to...
Well, that's why we're here, my dear. Well, we're given this choice. If you came here, if you're here now, you have to say, what am I here for? You have to really question, do I believe in this dream? Do I believe in this vision? Because you're going to be challenged. We are all being challenged today. You have to keep returning, wait a second, what is that dream again? How far removed am I from that today? Oh, yeah, I'm a way over there. I'm off track.
I think
it's okay. Don't beat yourself up. We are all subjected to this. That's why I said we have to be very alert.
Yeah, I think Patty's in here, but I think she's got her microphone muted.
I don't see her.
Yeah, I'll try it again.
I'm here.
Oh, she is there.
She's just invisible.
There you are.
She's invisible.
That lady's
it's amazing.
Man, you just sneak up on people like a ninja or something.
Good morning, Jesus.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing good. Morning, sis.
Good morning, sister.
And everybody on the site, and everybody on Shaziz's chat, the super chat. Good to see you guys. I got my first cup of coffee, so I'm going to sit back and listen.
Oh, I thought you were listening already. We've just been going on and on.
I did get to hear you a little bit.
Well, I kind of started off on a rough path this morning, but somehow or another, Barbara come in with some words of wisdom and kind of made me feel a lot better, because I started to realize, you know, I got a habit of trying to put the entire weight of the world on my back, you know, and I'm thinking I got to fix everything that's broken. I got to be the scales of justice. I got to, you know, be the person in the middle, the peacemaker. You know, I can still be the peacemaker, but I need to do it in a different manner than trying to take on all the battles of the world at one time, because it takes a toll on you. You know, I don't sleep at night, because at night I wake up and I'm thinking of worries about all kinds of different things going on in the world. I'm trying to figure out a way to shout it loud enough and get the attention out to everybody, you know, and hopefully inspire the world to try to come together. And you know, I just don't, I'm not that powerful by myself. I think that it's a community thing. It's a family thing. If we want to fix this world, we got to figure out how we can put all the other craziness aside and use everything that is us, the gift that is us. I keep telling everybody, but I got to live by my own words when I tell everybody, if you want to find the miracle that you've been waiting for, go look in the mirror, because you are that miracle. Each one of you are. what, by yourself you can do amazing things, but together we could do so much in this world. We could change this world. I really honestly believe that, and that's what the dream to me is all about. You know, making this world a better place, one positive pebble at a time.
Well, don't cut yourself short, because when you say, I'm not powerful alone, you see, you have to change that thinking, because it has to start somewhere. So if you say, I am powerful, and what I think, what I say, my emotions, and what I allow out from this sacred self emanates outward from me and touches all of life, all of creation, and feeds that tree of life, you see. If we want the tree of life to bloom once again, like Black Elk had said, we are in that timeline now, by the way. We are in that prophecy in this time, right now. Either we feed the tree of life, or it's going to die again. And we don't want that tree of life to die, because the tree of life is so crucial for all of humanity. You know, it's nurturing, life-giving, joy, beauty, wisdom, health, well-being, peace emanates from that original tree of life, and the gift is there for every one of us. If we ignore it, if we doubt peace, okay, that's a removal there of one branch, so there goes out the window there. If you doubt harmony and balance, or people coming together, or in unity, well, you're chipping away at that tree of life, the gifts of that tree of life. It starts with each one of us, and you are powerful, and I am powerful. And yes, when we come into the sacred circle and we come together in that sacred way, yes, we are certainly more powerful. But don't ever say you are not powerful alone.
Well, I feel like I got a really bright light in my heart, and I want to turn it up full blast. I think.
Yes, you know, so Lisa says when we come together heart to heart, the world shifts, and she is absolutely right. That's what I'm talking about. Yes, and Charles Tudor says we are the seventh generation, and we are in this timeline right now that Black Elk spoke of, the return to the sacred ways of our ancestors, which identifies us with the sacred tree of life and one big family underneath that tree, around that sacred tree, which is the sacred circle.
Well, that's a vision. That's a vision in my mind and my heart worth fighting over. That's not fighting over per se, but fighting through all the craziness.
Well, I think
there.
It's a belief. I think again we're back to what is okay. It's the foundation.
I want to make it to the goal. I want to make it to the tree. I want to be in that circle. Is what I'm saying.
Well, say you are. Okay, you are. It's according to how you speak, and what you think, and what your actions are. That puts you connected with the tree of life. Don't say, I want to be. Okay, because then you've removed yourself. Your words are powerful. Words are powerful, you see. You are part of the tree of life. Everyone listening is part of the tree of life. The point is, how far removed are you from that tree of life? We are connected to that tree of life, because we are all sacred children. Okay, so if you believe somebody over there is not sacred, they're bad, they're evil, they're dark, they're doing this stuff, you have moved several steps away from the sacred tree of life yourself.
I just think they're lost, and I feel like I'm running around the battlefield trying to, you know, gather up everybody and pull them off the battlefield. In the meantime, I'm getting myself in deeper.
Well, there you go. Then you have to look at free will, you see. Everyone has free will. Every one of us. It's not just, you know, the ones here that we're talking to, or you and I and the three of us here. Every human being has free will, and by their actions, by their words and their beliefs, they create and manifest something. So it doesn't mean that they're not part of the tree of life. It just means that they've lost, you know, their deep connection to the tree of life. They've wandered away, like that prophecy spoke of, that people will wander away from the tree of life and despair will rise.
So essentially they got to want it, and they got to basically seek it themselves.
That's right. We all must be part of creating what we want to dream, what we are dreaming of. Every one of us is crucial to this.
Wow.
Yeah, not one person is outside of this. Now, there are some that are so far removed from the tree of life, yet they are really totally lost, you know. ultimately? Will they return? Will they find something? Will they be touched by something? Will they awaken? You know, we always keep saying, I wish these people would awaken. You know, but that's their free will. They're on their journey. We're all on a journey here, our own spiritual journey. But our foundation is key. The foundation of our spiritual connectedness and our awaken and the realization of who we really ultimately are. Like Jordan Maxwell says, his whole thing was people don't know who they are. They don't know their source, their origins, and so on. And we've been saying the same thing for how long? We have no idea. The major part of the population, although people are awakening, is they are so far removed from the inner truth and the inner wisdom that they came here with, and the gifts and the power that tree, the sacred tree, gave them and Creator gave them through that sacred tree. We all have the answer within us, and we have to stop looking at other people to give us the answer.
I've said a few times that I feel like my heart's about to explode. I mean, maybe it's about time for me to just take that heart and empty it out into the world and let that go, because it just keeps on filling up. You know, I got.
Well,
always...
you can say. I mean, you can speak to that. You can. I get you. I get. Sometimes I feel like I'm gonna explode. I feel like, but you have to. It's your power. So here's what I say. My feeling is I'm overjoyed when I am in nature and when I see people, when I see babies, when I see animals and life and creation. I feel my heart swelling so much that I feel like I'm gonna explode. Sometimes I even weep. I even cry because I look at nature and the beauty of nature, just simple things. I go out and I make an effort to do that, you know. I go outside onto the mother and I just stand there and I listen and I look and I smell the air, the bonilla, the breath of life. I see things in nature functioning according to the original instructions, because that's what nature does. Nature doesn't have an ego. Nature isn't working hard to, you know, shake us up and awaken us. Nature's just doing its thing.
We're the ones
that are struggling.
When I wrote that story about the turtle, that was probably one of the most relieving moments in my life. Whenever I finally finished out the portion of that first portion.
Well,
that
you
story.
Were given a gift. That was a powerful gift, and your story is extraordinary. I don't know if Patty finished it. Maybe she should continue it today. She just went for coffee. But what I want to say about, you know, that feeling like you're going to explode thing. Now, you could say, I am so grateful for the beauty of this world. I'm so grateful for the people. You know, all of the children, all brothers and sisters, all of all colors, black, red, yellow, white, and brown, are all wanting ultimately the same thing, but many are lost. Many have stepped away from the tree of life, or they've been dragged away from that tree of life and their original essence, who they really truly are. They're confused about who they are. And then you have the, you know, how we're being pummeled with information that is negative, that is harmful, that is hurtful, and people are being swallowed up with this. And that is part of prophecy. That is an entity or energies or frequencies that are keeping us away from who we really truly are and what we can actually achieve, what the gifts we've been given. You see, so that's why I say we have to be very careful today, because that energy is ramping up, and boy, you can see it.
Yeah.
And it's affecting us. It's affecting everyone. So when you feel yourself shifting into an energy or thought, which is energy, emotion, which is frequency energy, that is opposed to the light, all right, that is opposed to peace, that is opposed to love, okay, you better get yourself back straight. Right? You want to come back into your heart spirit and just be grateful for your sacredness, your life, and all beauty around you, instead of looking at somebody and pointing fingers at them. When you point fingers at another person, when you judge another person, when you have hate in your heart or divisiveness in your heart, or even doubt, you stepped away from the sacred tree of life and the power that you really truly have.
Well, I think today, when I started off this show today, I think my heart was sending out a wave, you know, for reinforcements, because honestly, I almost didn't get on the radio today. I almost just said, sure, I'm just going to sleep this one out. I almost didn't do it, but I just got drawn to do what it is we do here. You know, I think it's important what we do here. It's, to me, it's therapeutical. To me, it's it gives me, you know, hope to see other lights out there that I feel like this is so much bigger than all of us. And I
don't look at anything as a mistake, Shaziz. I don't believe there are mistakes. I believe that everything is an opportunity. So if you started out your day like that, with that resistor energy at you, hitting at you, I'm not going to go on because blah, blah, blah. But you push through it, and here you are. I'm glad you're here. You know, I'm happy to be here, and I see Patty here. I see Barry wants to... Oh, Barry's the black sheep. He's claiming who he is. He's the black sheep. Okay. So Barry says, I guess I'm the black sheep. Well,
I don't look at Barry like a black sheep.
Well, he's claiming that. I don't know. Oh, he said he asked an hour ago. We've been on the show an hour ago.
Oh, wow. Let me see. Is he one in the... I'm going to add him in.
I don't know. I see he's on Knights of the Round Table, I guess. So, I don't know, Patty, what do you think? What's going on with you, my sister?
Just getting around. My second cup of coffee, but just listening. And, you know, Shaziz, how many years have I heard you come on week after week and pour out your heart? You know, I agree with Barb. And I say that, you know, you've done a great work, and you continue to do a great work. It's not about you, and it's not about me, but it's about what we do. It's about how we fill our days. It's about how we feel toward life. You know, and you've never lost that love. You've never lost that unity with life. You see yourself as part of life, and that's why it hurts so much for you to see that things need to change and that there is suffering. But you are changing it, Shaziz. You are making a difference. You really are. You have, and you will continue to do so. You know, I know I've been there where you're at, but when it all is said and done, it doesn't matter at all what anybody else does. If they ever side with unity and love, it doesn't really matter, because it only matters that you live in love, that you provide that, what do you always say, positive pebble,
yeah,
to the pond. Because everything that you do, Shaziz, everything, when you pour your love out, when you put it out there, it doesn't stop, and it continues on, and that's the best that anybody can ever do. You can't do a greater work than that, you know? And what you do does matter. You don't always see it, because like that positive pebble, those ripples are moving out away from you.
Yeah.
You know?
Thanks. You are too. All of you are.
Well, I have to say that we all go into that. But you have to be alert and aware of what is that resistor energy. Where is that coming from? It's not coming from the light. It's not coming from Great Spirit. When you start to feel like helpless and hopeless, of why bother? Why bother to do what? Speak from your heart? I mean, what is that? What would not want you to speak from your heart? Right?
Well,
what is that?
The very first thing that I heard whenever I started firing up these computers, because every Saturday and Sunday I'll fire up these computers, and when I get on the site, the radio player will start playing. And the very first thing that I heard myself say was that I didn't care if there wasn't anybody listening. I was going to speak these words. That's what I heard myself say on one of the auto DJs. And I think I'm glad I did come here today, and I'm glad I'm going to continue to speak this word. It doesn't matter how many people are listening. I feel like even if I'm just saying these words.
Yeah, I'm just going to say that guess who's listening? Guess who's listening to your words? Because guess who's listening to us? You may look on the chats and nobody showed up, no human showed up, and guess who's really listening to your words? Okay, this is what we have to understand is if you believe that your words and your heart spirit is the pebble that is thrown in that pond and those ripples go out, guess who is receiving your words, your heart, your love, your compassion, your concern?
Well,
you know,
I believe that my God knows my heart.
Well, and so if you decided one day, well, I'm not even going to bother, because why bother? Because nobody's listening and nobody cares. What would that do to, you know, I'm just saying, there would be a void.
Yeah.
There would be a void so big. That's what I feel, because we've gone through this, right, Patty? Oh, nobody's listening. How many people are listening? I'm tired. I feel like I'm talking to a brick wall. But we have to stop that nonsense, because somebody is listening. You may not see them.
Well, I know the CIA and all the alphabet soups are definitely listening, because we say a lot of things to get us in trouble.
Right, Barry? What do you think?
Well, you know what? What you're talking about, this negative energy that we're experiencing in the morning, I've experienced that quite a bit lately. And it's like I get out of bed in the morning and I don't even want to go near the computer. I don't want to do anything. I just want to go away and get away from all this. And I see where it's coming from. And you know what? I have my coffee. I get on the computer and I'm ready to go again. But I've been experiencing the same thing in the morning. I just don't even want to go near the radio. So it's funny we're talking about that today. There's definitely a negative energy working on all of us right now. And if you let him in the door, he's going to swing it wide open.
Well,
yeah, it wants to prevent us from sharing what we feel in our hearts, right?
It does. And
yeah.
It's the devil. To me, it's the devil.
Exactly.
With the
I usually want to get up
and talk and just get out
careful.
There. And now, boy, I'll tell you, lately it's been like, you know, just this negative feeling in the morning.
Yeah.
And I identify where it's coming from.
And that's ramping up, isn't it? That is ramping up. Patty and I have been talking about, we've been like, wow, going, wow, look at this. But that's part of prophecy too, and we're speaking about the sacred tree of life, and that's what the message from the elders was. The same thing, you know, that people would be drifting away, they would be being affected, and their hope would be, you know, drop, and their faith would drop, and what would rise up in its place is what's waiting to rise up in its place.
Of course.
My faith talks about putting on the full armor of God in these times. And boy, I tell you what, if you got it, you need to put that on there. I honestly feel like that just this group right here, I feel like you guys are part of that armor. I feel like you guys and gals, it's just that I feel like I'm at home and I'm sitting here talking to you. I feel like I'm with my family. I feel like I'm safe. I feel like that demon or whatever that jumps on our backs whenever we're apart, that when we come together and that light comes on, that demon can't take it and it just goes away. That's what I feel like. It's amazing.
Lisa, all caps, says she enjoyed asking you questions yesterday during Mad Science, and she says no one else out there is doing a show like that.
Wow.
I mean, there's a good, right there tells you what you're doing, how important it is.
Well,
yeah, we have Red just came in. Hi, Red, Tracy, Troy, Heather, Lisa, everybody, thank you. Charles, too, all here listening. Thank you so much for being here, really. Everybody.
Yeah, I'm sending a whole lot of love out of my heart to every single person out there involved in this thing that we've got going on. We've had going on for years. We've brought people together. We've talked about tough subjects. We've talked about, you know, funny things. And, you know, we sit at this round table, and I honestly feel like we're sharing, you know, not just a good thing, but a lot of solutions. Somebody once told me that all we do is talk, you know, and we never do nothing. Well, I think talking's a lot more powerful than people give credit for. I think the power of the spoken word is amazing, because some of the words spoken here today have basically lifted my spirit out of the dirt.
Well, I think that's why we're all here.
That's why we're all here.
Exactly.
Because we all feel what we all feel right now. We know that we're in crazy times. And if we weren't here supporting each other and sharing these thoughts, I find it's very, very enlightening when I come in here. I get a really good feeling from Patty and Barb and you and Shaziz. What can we say? We're watching history unfold in front of us right now. And what's coming in the near future, none of us know for sure, but we all know for sure that something's going to change. So get your spiritual armor on, because what we're seeing right now on the planet Earth is a wrap-up of evil like I have never seen in my lifetime. It absolutely astounds me what I see going on, but I expect this to happen because it is prophesied that in this particular time in history we're going to see the devil, and that's who I call him, the devil run wild, and that's exactly what's happening. Morality is a thing of the past.
I got tears in my eyes right now, fighting it back, but they're not tears of sadness. They're tears of joy, because this is that part of the movie that you watch, you know, when everything's gone wrong and all the people come together. This is that part that I love so much about those types of movies, when the family comes together and they overcome adversity, and hearing these words, it puts joy in my heart, because it tells me that it's still moving forward.
Well, go ahead, sis.
I just want to say that, you know, I have some words here in front of me that I read and reread from time to time that make me feel that way, Shaziz. You know what I'm talking about, right? My friend Goliath.
Yeah.
You know, and every time I go to read this, it seems like that the chapter that I'm on is where we are in the show, where you are. So I'm going to go ahead with this. Sound good?
Yeah.
Okay, for those of you who may not know, Shaziz on Facebook started a series called My Friend Goliath, and he would put up occasionally, somebody's got their mic on and I can hear him typing on the keyboard, but occasionally he would post on this little story feed here about a turtle that he became friends with on his property. So this is about the third or fourth installment of it. If you want to see more, you can go to Facebook, go to his feed, and you should be able to find it there. But anyway, this is called My Friend Goliath. And it says, this world can be harsh, and things in this world can be huge when they are happening to you. Understanding brothers is the master key to knowing what you can do. Goliath started off his life inside the protection of an innocent little egg, and after all of his trials and tribulations, ended up in a scummy, green-covered, broken-down old pond, where he met up with his tired, broken-down old man. He, as well as I, by this time, may very well have had the same philosophy as in this pond stinks, and life stinks as well. But at the moment that this bond between man and turtle formed, he saw hope in me as I saw hope in him. I would help him clean up his pond, and he would help me heal mine. As I look into Goliath's eyes, my heart warms with happiness from deep inside. Maybe it is this wild creature that just looks at me in wonder of what I am, or waiting, or from deep inside. Maybe it is this wild creature that just looks at me in wonder of what I am, or waiting for the next bit of food, or even curiosity of what I might do. I like to think he looks at me with love in his heart, like I look at each of you. Whatever the case may be in my mind, I am a friend to Goliath, and he is indeed a friend to me. Goliath has taught me so much about myself and the true meaning of life. One thing that I learned, if you work hard for nature, nature will work hard for you. I know this world is messed up, and I understand there are people in this world who are so much more worse off than me. My love goes out to each and every one. Miracles can happen and do. And that, my friend, is so very true. Most of the time, if you look in the mirror, you will see the miracle you have been waiting for with you. Other times, it is your family, and sometimes maybe a friend. Occasionally a stranger, nevertheless, the miracles never end. And when you do not expect them to happen at all, they come. From the least likely of places, such as in an old, scummy, green, broken-down old pond, in the eyes of a turtle with a huge, loving heart. This world is crying out to us because just as we need this world needs all of us as well. We need each other. We need people to believe again, to believe in love, to believe in God, to believe in life, or simply believe in each other, or at the very least, believe in the dream. The things that we could do together to make this world a better place. These things I saw as I looked into my friend Goliath's sweet, loving face. There you go. This is Shiz's writing, my friend Goliath.
Wow. You always read that so well. I just hope that that story touches somebody's heart out there. I started to work on a second series of that, and I think I need to try to get to it, you know, and I think I need to try to finish up. I don't think the journey's over yet.
No, I don't think it is either. But it's definitely touched people. Shows it's touched me. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful story.
Well, I thank you very much. It comes from my heart. But I think that each one of us has said this, at some point in time, if we could only touch one spirit in a positive manner, then this whole thing that we call the Knights of the Round Table would be worthy. It'd be worthwhile. And I kind of feel like you just said that. I feel like all of us have said that at some point in time, that we all have done so much more than we thought we did. You know, and if we can just keep to Barbara's got some words of wisdom, and she made me see things in a different fashion than. You guys pulled me out of the dirt. I'll just leave it at that. Because this morning I, you can see from the title, Driven to Madness, I thought I was going insane, because it's just like, it. No matter how hard I tried to put the right words on the table to try to help somebody out, it just didn't seem like I could. Maybe I wasn't talking from where I needed to be talking. Maybe I was talking from where I wanted the world to be. If that makes any sense.
I think it is. If I didn't have a spiritual foundation in my life right now, the name of this show would be very, very prevalent. Because if we really look what's going on in our world and take it all into context, it would drive the normal person insane. We can't solve all the problems, but we can try and reach people's heart and let them know that, you know, everything that's going to happen in my world is going to happen. I don't believe we can stop some of the things that are going to happen in our world. I don't think we can stop that. But we can change people's hearts. Because that's really what matters, man. All this is frivolous. It's all going to pass. It's what's in your heart that really, really matters. And when I get up in the morning, I was talking about this earlier, and I said, hey, you know, I feel negative some mornings. Well, I say three words, and it works every time. And bang, I'm right back on. All I say is, get behind me, devil. And believe it or not, guys, it works.
It does work. It does work. You know, I was talking about, Barbara read out a deal about the tree of life, and I was talking about a biblical tree of life, and I said, matching these two up, and it's so ironic that so many cultures out there in this world talk about a tree of life. And I was even talking about a wish that I had a fruit that I could go up to this tree and pick this fruit and give it to everybody, and then be able to when they eat this fruit, they just walk away in love, you know. And doggone it, that tree of life that I believe, like, I believe she's right. I believe we're all part of that tree of life, and I believe we are seed planters, and that we do bear fruit, and that fruit is the portion that we're pouring our love out to everybody's heart. You see what I'm saying? I honestly believe that.
I do, because that is so, you know, the fact that we have to get it, though, you see. Again, you have to have this, you see, the positiveness of things is easily affected by the negative. So it's like if you shine your light, you're going to draw all manner of things. It's like a light outside in your yard, you know. It's going to draw mosquitoes and moths, and everything's going to start pummeling it. So, you know, when you shine your light, or, you know, you have something good to say, or carrying something good in your heart, I think we've identified now clearly how we are pummeled and affected by a negative, which is trying to put out that light, stop that light from shining. You could say, you know, that's a metaphor, of course, but it's simple, because when you determine to what we call step upon the chunkaloo to the red road, right? We step upon the chunkaloo to the red road. We determine that we want to do that. We want to work for a creator or great spirit. We want to, you know, be in service, we call it. You're going to be hit really hard by something, and whatever you want to call it, it does not matter, that does not want the goodness, does not want you to plant that seed of joy and harmony and peace. It wants you to be in despair, because that's the food that feeds that negativity. We are basically a buffet for that energy.
Wow, I get that. That made
the Kogi people call it the sorcerers. The sorcerers are looking for windows of opportunity, and we are windows of opportunity with how we present ourselves, you know. They're looking for the food that keeps them alive, that keeps them going. So we have to determine, are we going to feed the dark, or are we going to feed and nurture the light? It's in our hands.
I'm going to put on my full armor, and I'm going to turn my light up as bright as possible, and let them all come, because I don't think that they can take down the heart as big as the one I got beating in my chest.
Well, there you go. I'm happy to hear you say that. And Red says, yes, spiritual attack on life to create mass depression. Yeah. And that's so true. You know, and we have been spiritually attacked. You know, Gaz says the same thing. It's that they attack us upon our senses of morality, our feelings of love and compassion, and that's so true. You know, it's like, that's what I'm saying. We have to be alert to what is really going on. You know, wake up to what is really going on here. Just saying.
Well, no, you said it right. My gosh, and Gaz and others in the chat room talking about what they're saying, they're right. Oh, man, you're all right. I'm just amazed at how these shows take on a life of their own, because I kind of expected to be sitting here by myself for a while because, it happens sometimes. You know, old King Shazam's the Terrible. He's sitting around the round table waiting for somebody to show up and have some coffee with me. But I think sometimes those are times when I need to just say some things, and I do. And I got the whole microphone to myself. You know, I'm like, man, I hope somebody shows up soon because I think I'm sinking. But every single time you guys show up, everything just seems to fall in perspective. Barry said that he was pretty much thinking the same kind of things, you know, maybe in different words or whatever, but it's just, do you find any amazement in how we're all of the same mindset before we even get here? Does that make any sense to anybody but me? It's just amazing to me. It seems like a miracle unfolding right before our very eyes, and I just need to recognize that.
Well, I think we all got called up. That's what I'm saying.
I think we're all here at this particular time in history for a reason.
Well, that's what I believe.
And I met you guys for a reason. I mean, meeting Patty, that was one of the best things that ever happened to me in my life. And every time I hear that, it inspires me. And Barbara, boy, I'll tell you.
I didn't have to pay him a lot to say that either.
No, you didn't. That was a treat. And Barbara, I love listening to Barbara talk, even though we disagree on points. Our hearts are in the same place. We know that.
We never disagree.
Never. But we agree to disagree, Barbara, but you know what? Our hearts are in the same place.
Well, Barry, I never knew you was the black sheep, but now that I do...
Well, I thought I was the black sheep because I asked at about 7:13 to join the show.
Oh,
and I checked it over in the other chat room, and I was going, well, maybe they don't want to talk to me today.
No, I'm sorry.
And I figured I was the black sheep.
I have this bad habit sometimes of not paying attention. I'm kind of trying to scan all the different chat rooms so that I can recognize all the, you know, comments and let people know that I'm reading their message, and I want to say what they're saying out there, let everybody else know so they can be heard too, because, you know, not everybody can get on Skype and join us at the round table, but they do have a lot of wonderful things to say. Not everybody wants to get in front of a microphone. And so Barbara does it all the time, Patty does it all the time. I think you've done it a few times, Barry, where we read comments out of the chat room about things that are going on. And so it makes them part of the round table. They, you know, we kind of, you see what I'm trying to say here? It's just, it's amazing to me how this works. It takes on a life of its own, and I'm just so grateful and feel I'm blessed and honored to have everybody that shows up here.
Well, what I see going on in our chats, which is really pretty wonderful, is that the people on our chats are really pretty much on the same page. Pretty much, I'd say the majority of them are. Like, you know, like Gas says, we are here to fulfill a contract or agreement that our soul spirits agree to. You know, that's Gaz's perspective, and I kind of agree with him on that. I that's my personal experience. I mean, I can only share my personal experience because Patty and I often talk about how we got hooked up, you know, how we got connected. Now, how that happened, and you all have your own stories, but how that happened with Patty and I is I had some circumstances in my life that I was being challenged on the most powerful, you know, spiritual way with dark entity, really evil, and I was being challenged with this, and I nearly didn't make it, and that led me to seek out an elder in a particular area of where this was happening, and just to discuss this with that elder, who was very well aware of that energy there on their reservation. And that was Gerald Whitehorse Standing. And we got in a conversation, and he wanted me to come on the show, I Have Something to Say, which was Gerald's show, and Patty produced that show. And that's, of course, Patty and I got talking, and she, you know, kind of manipulated me to get my own show. Which I said, no way.
Your fault, Patty.
And here we are in this moment in time. Now, I know you guys. I know all these people on the chat. So I know spirit through this experience I had in my whole life, basically, brought me to this very moment in time to be sitting here with all of you, everybody listening, and so on in this moment in time. I can't deny that. That's my personal experience.
Wow.
Cool. Where is Gerald Whitehorse these days? I bet man's a wise man. I'd love to talk to him again.
Well, yeah, we haven't really been in contact with him for a while, and I see he's completely offline. I think he may not have his system up anymore. I don't know, you know, but I know he was wise, and he had extraordinary mind, but he also had some terrible tragedies in his family. You know, so I don't really know what's going on with Gerald. Yeah, I don't know if anybody does, anybody out there.
Well, send that heart signal out for him. Maybe he'll show up. It worked for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, whenever this show's over today, it's not over just yet. We still got some more time. But when this show's over, I'm going to play this song that I keep playing all the time by Bette Miller, The Rose. Because if those lyrics don't speak to you, I don't know what would. But the whole thing that gets me about that song is how we talk about being seed planters. And as rough as things are around there, he talks about at the end of that song about how, you know, through the cold, the hard bitterness of the snow in the springtime from that one seed, there's a rose. And every time I hear that song, I'm reminded of a story that Barbara's told before about, you know, seeing a flower through a crack of a sidewalk, or, you know, pictures that I've seen where there's this dump, and in the middle of this dump is a really beautiful flower. And I think that's that, all that goodness of the world trying to get out, and I think that we have the capability to bring it out. I honestly believe that we do have that power to bring that beauty out, and at least share the stories, you know, our testimonies of what we've seen in our life, to give somebody, you know, hope that maybe they turn their light on. What do you think?
Well, I think that we have to be careful of our expectations. I learned a very powerful lesson recently about how our expectations get us into deep trouble.
Yeah.
And it took me a while to get this, you know. By the way, Tracy says that Gerald is okay. She says he's just gone through so much in the last year and a bit, and yeah. So I put our prayers out for Gerald and his family, absolutely. But this whole thing, this expectation, you know, I had an experience. It took me a long time, and boy, I'll tell you, the expectations we have of others can get us into deep troubles, because we get angry and annoyed because people aren't behaving or doing or becoming or awakening or getting it like we think they should. Therefore, we go around getting annoyed and ranting at them and getting frustrated and also hurt. So you have to drop those expectations, because that person is on their own path, and it's not up to me, basically, to take them to the water and put their head in that water and say, here, drink this water. I mean, because that's what we do. Our expectations is like that, you know? So it's a big awakening to say, drop your expectations of other and just be in your heart spirit and pray for those people who, you know, or send them love who you think, well, maybe they're on the wrong path. But you know what? Maybe they're not on the wrong path. Maybe that's the path they chose to be on in this moment in time. And it's your expectations that are basically causing a friction between the two of you.
Yeah, you're going to thank me for us. Eat this fruit.
All is as it should be.
Yep.
Oh, I don't know why I found that heartwarming. Yeah, but that's right. You can't make people want to be happy. They got to want it. I mean,
you can't make them wake up either.
Yeah.
It's their time. Whenever, it's like between them and their creator when they're going to wake up, if they are. It's not my job. I can share and I can teach like I do, and I can do ceremony like I do. But ultimately, all peoples are on their own pathway, their own journey in relation to their creator and their agreement. And it doesn't mean that, yeah, you don't wish for someone to heal from their addiction, you know, to stop, you know, doing what they're doing, because it is hurting them. You can only be loving toward them and support them, but you can't get angry at them because you have an expectation. And come on, get it already, enough already. Get a life.
Yeah.
Well, I think what we need to do is stop looking at people as being separate from us, something that is external to us, and start remembering that connection that we all share, and look at others as we would look at ourselves. You know, so many times we put those expectations because we see that these people are not, they're not walking my walk. Why not? I mean, they should be walking my walk. They're having trouble. They're suffering. They should walk my walk because it'll be better then. But it's not, because you had to walk your walk, and you were in those dark times, and you came out of those dark times, and you're who you are because of those dark times, as well as the light times. So it's in being able to see another person for who they are and love them anyway, and see through that and see that they're just on a journey.
Yep.
And their journey is separate from yours, and it's your job only. It's your responsibility only to live in your world, to live in your reality, whatever that may be. And when people cross paths with you, if you're real, and if you come from the heart, and if you come from that truth inside you, then you've given them what you needed to give them. And it doesn't matter that they turn around and say, at the moment, and say, oh my gosh, you changed my whole world.
Well, I tell you, I learned so much here today, and I do believe in that spiritual connection, because when I was in a jam, you guys showed up, and you pulled me out of the jam. I even got to laugh for a second. Oh, what a wonderful world we live in.
Was it Strawberry Jam? I love Strawberry Jam.
I just thought that same thing.
I love Strawberry
Blueberry,
too.
Blueberry.
Nah, strawberry. Strawberry.
Come on.
I like blueberry pancakes and waffles.
Blueberry rules, man.
But,
come on.
But strawberry.
Where are you guys at?
Strawberry.
I like what you said. Yeah, what you said was, we have to love them anyway, and that's it. You have to let go of your expectations and your frustrations at people and love them anyway, if you're walking your talk.
Yeah, because look at your life. You're not perfect. I don't care who you are.
Wait,
I don't care.
Hold
who
on
you
here. Oh, I thought you were.
Well, thought we're you not were perfect.
I thought you were telling me, look at you. You're not perfect.
No.
I'm perfect.
We're all,
I did feel a perfect mess.
Did you hear what I said, Patty?
What was that? Are you picking on me?
I said, I'm perfect. I'm a perfect mess.
Perfectly imperfect.
Yeah, there you go.
Everything is okay. Everything is as it should be.
I'm a work in order, man.
Well, I tell
eventually they'll get all the bugs figured out.
Well, listen, it doesn't mean that we have to sit back and do nothing, okay? I'm not saying that. I mean, we do have to participate, and the question is, how are we participating in this awesome moment in time? Because it is, to me, I feel, really, we are at a point in time like never ever before in our history.
Yep.
That was one of the phrases we get to watch it all, man. Barbara, that was one of the phrases that I Googled this morning saying that I do not want to participate.
Right. There are people that are choosing that. And so it's like, here's the thing the elders say. The elders told us there is a raging river, let go of the shore. Well, guess what? That's a participation. Let go of the shore, meaning let go of all the crap and the past and all that stuff, and stop hanging on to that is serving you no good, and get out into that raging river and see who's out there with you. So you guys, we're in a raging river, and I know you are with me here.
Yep.
You guys are in this river with me, and we all
got
feel
my
good.
Tube. I got my tube and my cooler with my pop in it, and I'm going down the river.
Do you have any sunscreen? Because I get sunburned on the river.
I got my drum and my rattle, I'm singing my song. It's like, but you know what? Every river has a destiny.
Yep.
Just make sure you got your bottle of Grey Poupon mustard, man.
Yeah.
Oh, is that too? And strawberry jam.
Do I have to like strawberry? Do I have to like strawberry?
Well, some blueberry jams do. Okay.
Okay, please.
All right. Well, now we can agree. We can all have blueberry and strawberry. Just don't mix them. I don't think the two would jive.
Now you're making me hungry.
I like them. I like them all. I like them all.
But you know, I like the saying, therefore, but the grace of God go I. And I think that, yeah, we could all be on the other side over there, far, far, far away from the sacred tree, far from the sacred circle. You know, I've been there. I have been there. I admit it. You know, it's not a fun place, but boy, I'll tell you, it's an opportunity place.
Yeah.
You know, it's an opportunity place to learn something about myself.
It's a gift. They say every journey begins with one footstep, one single footstep. So for those folks out there listening in, if you're trying to work your way back towards some sanity from the world of madness, first off, I would say if you can avoid it, stay out of the rabbit hole. Because you'll come up out of there freaked out.
No.
No, we got to go down the rabbit hole. We got to know what the enemy is doing.
It's an adventure. We need to start looking at this as a participation game.
If we're going down the rabbit hole, I'm going to be kind of clingy and hang next to you guys as close as possible.
I take a GPS when I go in now because, you know, there's another rabbit hole when you're down
cheating.
There's one off to the right.
That's
I know, but I got lost. The last time I was in there, I got lost. It took me 3 hours to find my way out.
That's nothing compared to Patty and I. We've been down there days.
You know, life is an adventure, guys. You know, why not live it? I mean, come on.
Okay, we're going to have an Indiana Jones adventure down the rabbit hole together. It's on.
There's rabbit holes everywhere.
I know.
Everywhere you look.
Look, you just have to bring carrots.
All the magic that's out there, you know.
Here, buddy, buddy, buddy.
You know the two little children that were in the forest and they had breadcrumbs and they dropped them behind them so they'd find their way out, right?
Yeah, and somebody come along and ate them behind them.
The squirrel loved them.
Yeah.
Exactly, and the birds too.
And the birds too.
The best laid plans, sometimes, I don't know.
Yeah, it's the truth. That's why I try not to have to plan anything, because, you know, it seems like Murphy's Law always kicks in. Whatever can go wrong will go wrong. But I did learn that, you know, I can, like, kind of roll with it. I kind of like to laugh things off if it's, you know, there's really some things that ain't no laughing matter, but if you let life get you down, I mean, if you can't learn to laugh in the face of adversity, life will eat you alive. It's just the world we live in right now.
I think what we need to do is realize that sometimes we are the comic relief for the universe, and we ought to just, you know, own it.
Yeah.
You know, go with it. I do. It's really fun. You know?
Well, Shaziz, I've seen your really cool moves rolling around there in those rabbit holes. I've seen you. I've seen you rolling around, wrestling with it all.
Yeah. I got some mean ninja skills. Yeah, look, I see you over there. You're not being slick.
You think you're cool. Trying to be cool.
Wow, what an amazing show today, guys. Gals. This is the portion of the show that, you know, I kind of like, but I dread because it means we got to wait for another week to do it again. Maybe we need to see if we can arrange a middle of the week kind of emergency round table to check in on one another or something. What do you think?
Well, that's why we have Skype. You know, I told you, when you're in the dumpster, lift off the top and give a chat on the Skype. You know, we're all here. That's why we're here. You know, I guess we don't have to do it alone, but I know that's a habit too. I know sometimes we get in and we're just like, you know, that woe is me, like Eeyore, you know, that little donkey Eeyore.
everything is doom and gloom and woe is me stuff.
Mine was more of a dazed and confused kind of thing. Just trying to, that's why I Googled up all kinds of phrases. It took me a long time to even find out what I wanted to name this show today. And
dazed and confused would have been good.
Yeah, well, that might be a good one for our next show or something. But, you know, driven to madness, it's so easy to be driven to madness. One of the phrases that I pulled off, I popped a link in there for an article that was talking about how easy can someone be driven to madness or insanity. And I think that in this world, if you just let your guard down, if you don't keep that light shining and your love and your heart strong, it's easy. It is really easy to let this world blind you to what is really beautiful about this world. I mean, I got three on this round table alone, but who knows how many other. I got three beautiful friends that came here today and literally pulled me out of the dirt, because I face planted in the dirt from the moment I got up. I had a rough night of sleep, and I woke up thinking, what's the point? Why would I even want to do a show today? Because I can't even think of what. I want to put some positive out there. My mom used to tell me when I was a kid, if you ain't got nothing good to say, don't say anything at all. And so I was thinking, I don't want to come out here and lay out a negative pebble in the pond that I've been throwing positive pebbles in all this time and try to, put us back a step or two, if that makes any sense.
Well, Shiz, I don't think you can open your mouth and put out a negative, okay? So next time you feel that way, just say those three words that I say and get on here, because we need to hear you every week, buddy.
Well, I appreciate hearing that. That warms my heart, because like I said earlier, if I only inspired one single person. And I read a comment in here from May earlier. If somebody else read it to me first, then made sure I noticed it. But she liked the Mad Science Show, and that is really cool. And was talking about going out and building a sand heater. That is even better, because if I inspired anyone to try to create anything, I did my job for today, because I am proud and honored and humbled and just so blessed to want to be a servant to my fellow brothers and sisters. I want to be a servant. And I just want the world to be able to experience what that actually feels like. I want them to, when they go outside and they check out what nature has to offer, I want them to open their eyes and recognize the beauty. I want them to know that if they want to find that miracle they've been looking for, it's as simple as walking in the other room and looking in the mirror.
Hey, Barry, you should mute.
Can you tell Barry types with two fingers?
Yeah.
We got to hear him do dishes earlier.
I'm sorry.
It's almost like being at Barry's house.
I'm sorry.
We're coming to visit, Barry.
Well, I want to say that, look, I don't want to get the people to get the wrong impression, like, oh, yeah, get over it, it's easy, and so on. These are really challenging times. I mean, that's very real. It's not an easy time, but we do have resources, and we do have solutions, and there's always a solution, and we're talking about particular solutions, coming together and just sharing your story is a powerful gift to people. Because I'm sure that your story, Shiz, is where you started off your day. I'm sure there are a lot of people out there that could identify with that. And so, our stories are very important, and I don't want to make it seem like, oh, just get over it. You're at fault because it is easy. It's not easy. And things are hard. Life is getting very hard, more difficult to stay in your heart, spirit, really. But there are solutions, and I think if you don't believe that there are solutions, it's true, you will not find solutions. That's the whole point, is what is it that we feel inside of ourselves? And it's a constant challenge, and we all have to strive to come together and share our stories, and don't isolate and not be separate, and not fall for that stuff that's working to push us away and keep us isolated. It's a big challenge when you're in that hole, I'll tell you.
Well, Barry's words inspired me to come back again and again, even when I think that I ain't got nothing good to say, because I got a feeling that by the time you all show up, this round table will light up. I mean, I think it'll light up brighter than anything you can imagine. I see it every time, and I'm amazed at the how these round tables take on a life of their own. I mean, the way that people come in there in the chat and the things that they say to each other, I'm just humbled and blessed and honored. I'm just glad to be part of it. I'm glad that I get to experience this with all of you.
I agree.
You do.
Yeah.
Well, folks, this is the time we got to go around the table so we can start working our way up out of here. But I want to remind you, I'm going to play a song, and I hope you guys stick around and listen to those lyrics. I hope you just listen to the words that this lady's singing about. Number one, Bette Midler, she got a beautiful voice.
It's a beautiful song. I love that song.
Yeah, and maybe this song right here will explain what I feel like is happening here about that seed. You know, as hard as things get, that seed, what's going to come out of that seed is what we're doing here today. And you might not always be able to enjoy the fruits of your own labor, but just think about the people that came before you. You know, all the good people in your life, all the wonderful people that worked hard, blood, sweat, and tears to give you the opportunity and advantage to at least be able to enjoy what we've enjoyed here together, this connection, this spiritual journey that we walk. It's amazing to me, and I hope it's just as amazing to you, but please stick around and listen to that song. Do that for me. I'd appreciate it. So who wants to go first?
I'll go last.
Patty, go first.
Okay.
You're it, Patty. That's on you.
You're it, Patty.
Okay. I'm it. Okay. Everybody run and hide. Let's count for 10. I'm coming for you. No. Everybody, you know what? I love coming on Shazza's show because it always begins and ends in love for me. You know? I think that's the most important thing that we can do in life is love. Love through everything. Love through all those experiences, all the ups, all the downs. And it's not easy because sometimes we get caught up in the moment and we forget that, you know, we're only here for a little while. And in the grand scheme of things, it's like the blink of an eye. So we need to make the most of our life. And the way we do that is living in love and joy. We need to always strive. Or at least I need to always strive to do what it is that brings me joy, because when I'm in joy, even in those dark times, I can find beauty. Even in the hard times, I can feel comfort. Even in the times when I feel separated and I'm in that loneliest place, if I go back to that love vibration, if I go back and sit within that love vibration, it takes care of itself. It takes care of me. And I know it's hard. I know we're going through times that are really rough right now. But that's okay. Because we got it. We got this. We can do this. Shoot, look what we've already been through. You know? And I see us coming out of the other side. I see light. I see beauty. I see magic, and I see that others are also seeing the same thing. And that's all that really matters to me, is that we can laugh, is that we can love, is that even through all of this that we are going through, that we're still out there tossing those positive pebbles. I mean, pat yourself on the back, guys. Everybody, pat yourself on the back, because this isn't easy. It's not easy,
was never supposed to be. But the important thing is that you're here, so you didn't give up. You're not giving up. And we're all coming together. And what do we have in common? The fact that we can love, the fact that we can see beauty, the fact that we can come together and laugh. Live, love, laugh, and stand strong, everybody. Thanks.
Well, you know, I saw something in my mind whenever you was talking, some of the words that you were saying. I saw all of us on this giant emotional roller coaster with thrills and chills and crazy. We're all screaming and covering our eyes and riding the storm out together. I saw it. It was just, I wish you could see through my mind just once. Just once. Some of the things. So who's next?
Wait, before you do, I want to give a shout-out to Stephen Gibbon. And Steve, I can't get to the chat on Shaziz. You should come over here so I can see and talk to you again. I'm just saying, I love you.
Yes, technology for you. I don't know why it is that, you know, I know that Google and all them like to block out sites if you don't have that secured certificate. But if you're out there and somebody tried to tell them, Shaziz Radio is a safe website. We don't gather up any information or anything like that. You don't even have to sign up. We got chatters that come in the chat room in there. You can come in anonymous. It doesn't matter. You know, we're just trying to bring hearts together. That's all we want. We're not trying to sell you anything or, you know, ask for anything other than if you like what you hear here, just share it with somebody. That's the simple of it, you know. So who's going next here?
Barbara. Blueberry.
I think Barbara said she wanted to go last.
Well, it was, okay, look at, you know, there isn't a day that I don't come in here that I don't walk away feeling like I learned something or ideas have come into my mind that weren't there before. I love coming in here and talking with you guys. It, I wish I had gotten a little earlier today, but maybe next week I'll beat the horn or something or ring you on your phone there if she doesn't tell you to bring me in because I only got the last hour in here, but I've said this many times before. It's one of the things that I really kind of think about a lot is that, you know, we are in crazy times. And I believe, honestly, that something is going to change in our society in the very, very near future. And if things do go south, but if they do go south, just try and keep your feet on the ground because when the human mind is put into a state of chaos, that brain will pretty well do anything that is going to take the scream away. And the government's going to come along with the answers, and we can't fall for their trap. So please keep your feet on the ground, because I honestly believe that things are going to change in the very near future here. Right. Make sure you have your spiritual armor on, guys. That's really all that matters. Start your day with a little prayer, and you'll find that really, really works in your life. Working for me. Thanks for having me, and I love talking with you guys.
Well, Barry, I'm sorry I missed your hand waving out there earlier. Like I said, I don't pay attention to the chat room as much as I should. I need to get more used to doing that, but sometimes I get distracted. But either way, I'm always glad you show up, and you know.
My thoughts today also are with the 11 people that were slaughtered, the families of those people yesterday in Pittsburgh. What a travesty that this stuff goes on in our society.
Yeah, I wish that we had a way. I wish that we had a way to just wave some sort of magic wand and bring peace to the land, because we really need it. We need some spiritual healing. I think people need to find themselves some sort of grounding somewhere. You know, we're going through some rough times, but like Patty said earlier, I think together we can get through this thing. I think that when we come out the other side, you know, this giant emotional roller coaster or, you know, attack on our spirits and our goodness, I think that when we finally get to the other end of this journey, I think there's probably something really good going to be waiting for us. So that's my hope and my dream.
Last thing, I am having Vinny Eastwood on this afternoon, so if you guys want a good laugh, tune in. And also going to be talking with a doctor. A world-renowned doctor today about vaccines on my radio show this afternoon. So,
cool. Give him a radio link.
It's People's Internet Radio, and because of a time change, I'm starting at 2 p.m. Pacific time today. First hour, I have Vinny Eastwood on, and then the second hour, I am joined by a doctor, and I'm also pulling Roger Landry in. on the second hour because Roger is one of the most authoritative people I know on the issue of vaccines. So it should be a good show.
Yeah, awesome. Everybody thanks go for letting check
me,
that
let me,
out.
Thanks for letting me plug that.
Everybody go check that out. Also, don't forget to go down and support People for People Radio. Go over and visit those wonderful folks. They got a chat room over there, too. There's a link right there under in the Super Chat, right up underneath the Shaziz Radio chat. There's a People for People Radio, and their name speaks for what they stand for. Seriously, you go over there and visit with those folks. You're going to love them just like we do. And don't forget to check out Wolf Spirit Radio, and there's other links to other networks out there. Now, my thanks goes out there. We got a list of people that actually podcast and rebroadcast, and it's all appreciated, and you're all loved for all your efforts on, no matter who's involved in this deal, no matter how many people's out there, you're all important, and, you know, just share these links. So we got one more words of wisdom to come out there. Barbara, you got some words of wisdom to share with the world?
Oh, thank you so much, everyone, really. I mean it. I just feel very grateful. I feel, you know, this is such an awesome time. I don't look at this as a scary time or a negative time. I don't have my head in the sand. I know what's going on, but I feel I have something else also that's going on, and that is just knowing this is an extraordinary time for us. I have a great hope and a great faith. You know, that is what my source is, and the spiritual foundation is the key piece. But, of course, we're in a timeline now of understanding about energy and frequency, which has been kept from us deliberately, that inner knowing about who we are and the power that we do have, which is, of course, the power of our words and the power of our belief. And our actions, that we must align ourselves with a higher frequency, you know. Well, I shouldn't use the word must, but I'm going to say this is the message of today from all sources. Now, it's not just me that received this information about frequency, the frequency that is on a higher level. You want to call it a divine frequency because it's like love, unconditional love and compassion and joy, gratitude. I'm going to say that these are divine frequencies because it aligns us with Source, which is just miraculous creation and sacredness. So there are many others who are speaking the same words, you know, and Jordan Maxwell, for one, you know, solution, love and compassion. Even David Icke, the same thing, frequency, love and compassion. Even Linda Moulton Howe, recently looking at one of her videos, same words, the solution is, why is the solution love and the frequency of divine love and connectedness? Because those entities that are pushing at us, pressuring us, and challenging us today, they can't go there, and they don't want that frequency. So we have to educate ourselves about who we are. We are beings of frequency. And the participation that we are being asked to be involved here with is to understand divine frequency and who we are, what is really within our power. And to, yeah, there are things that are out there rolling around, pounding at us, and the challenges, and I think we're all aware of that. But I'm not afraid of that, and I'm also not spending a lot of time in the woe is me at all. Because it is not. It's awesome where we are today. It's awesome. I keep feeling that, and I feel uplifted. And this energy that comes through when we all start talking and coming together with this knowledge and this wisdom that we have. The simple word about love and gratitude. Those are simple words, but they are powerful, and it is a challenge. So I feel that we are in an awesome time, and I give thanks and gratitude to Tekashi, the Great Spirit, and Wankantanka, and Creator God, for this moment in our time, this moment in history. And we are who we've been waiting for, that's for sure. We all have it in our power. We are all one sacred family, and I feel more positive now than I've really ever felt, because I'm learning so much more about these hidden pieces, the secrets, the wisdoms that have been kept from us, and now we're talking about it, and I think it's just awesome. And not to ever lose hope, because everything is as it is meant to be, And no matter what, as the spirit said to me, when I was coming back to Earth, after I was in the light, taken into the light, and I was coming back to Earth, which I was in trepidation to do, and fear, I was told, no matter what, everything will be all right. And I believe that wholeheartedly. So that's where we have to keep our focus. And I'm just grateful for everyone here listening on Wolf Spirit Radio and People for People and all who's receiving our voices today and our good words. So everybody here, Pilamaya, Doksha.
Now, amazing. Let me ask you one quick question. I keep saying maybe I wish we could have some sort of divine intervention. Could it very well be possible that we are that divine intervention as creations of our God, our Creator, or Great Spirit? Or could it be very well possible that we are that divine intervention?
Well, I do believe that because, you know, I've always said no one other is going to come and save us. We are the ones that basically are here to do this work. We are here to manifest and create a different frequency, a different energy. It's called the fifth world, 1,000 years of peace, you know, or harmony and balance, whatever you want to call it. No one is going to come and save us. That's why we are being asked to participate, and that's why we have returned. I do believe that. We determined to come back here at this time. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here right now at this time. We'd be someplace else, or we wouldn't be. So, yeah, we are the ones. Nobody's going to come and save us. So that's why we're ramping up the fact that, okay, get your spiritual shields on, people, because this is the prophecies unfolding. This is the time of the Rainbow Warrior prophecy, meaning coming all together to manifest and create harmony and balance once again, to feed the tree of life. Either we feed the tree of life or we let it die. So yeah, we are all here to participate. It's up to you how you want to participate, but don't think somebody's going to come and make it all better. That's our job, really.
Well, and I want to add something to that too. I mean, here's where I'm at, is that it doesn't really matter what's outside of me, because if I am walking in honor, if I'm walking in love, if I'm walking in peace, if I'm walking in joy, then I have done everything that I can possibly do to make the world a better place.
It's that
vibration. That's the only thing that we have. The vibration and the frequency of love. That is where it's at. And if we walk in that way and make a conscious effort to be grateful and to accept the fact that we can't change the world, we can only change ourselves. And in so doing, the world does change. That's, I think, where we need to be.
Planting those seeds, right? Positive pebbles.
Totally agree on you there. So that's why I see. So it's like it's our responsibility individually and collectively, because we are all related. We are all connected. This is why I say this is an awesome time, because people are recognizing the very same thing.
Amazing. Folks, I'm going to play us out of here with a song. I hope you stick through and listen to the lyrics and really, really listen. I mean, listen with your ears and your heart. This is what's said, because some of the words said there, I think this lady's singing about them. Thank you for listening to the Knights of the Round Table. If you like this show, share it with somebody. Just take the download the podcast if you like, and take the pieces that you like and pass the rest along or whatever. Just share it. That's all we ask for. So here you go. I'm gonna play this song for you. Give it a real
Some say love, it is a river that drowns the tender reed. Some say love, it is a razor that leaves your soul to bleed. Some say love. it's only seen. It's the heart afraid of breaking that never learns to dance. It's the dream afraid of waking that never takes the chance. It's the one who won't be taken, who cannot seem to be, and the soul
that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Old woman!
Man!
Man, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you. We're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet!
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet! I order you to be quiet!
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table, three dots whenever we're able. We do routines to call the scenes, to footwork in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rise that our quiet unseen able. We're off so mad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Hear ye, hear ye. King Shazir the Turtle. King Shazir the Turtle and the Knights of the Round Table.